Hello and welcome to another episode of Control Alt Access. You know the deal. We talk about video game accessibility here. My name's Laura, and I'm here as ever with my lovely co-host Arevia. How are you doing today?
I was about to say good morning. That is how sweaty I am and dying of heat. But I think we are similar here. The summer has finally come to Norway, so I can't complain, or where I live in Norway. Technically can't complain, but you know how it is.
The summer's getting me over here too. My exhaustion is like partly the hot summertime weather, and also yesterday I went to go see the band My Chemical Romance play in London.
Oh my
It's
God.
my all-time favorite band. I saw them play at Wembley. It was 2.5 hours of me screaming every single lyric, and now my voice is gone and I have a little bit of heat exhaustion, but
Yeah.
it was all worth it.
That sounds like worth it. That would be a dream come true for me as well. So, yeah, sounds worth it.
Hurrah! So, should we? We're going to try and make this a little bit of a short one because we've both got chaotic things going on today.
Oh,
So,
yes.
who do you want to? Do you want to start with something you've been playing this week?
Yeah, I can do that. I've played Assassin's Creed Black Flag. I think it's called Resync.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the newest release of or remake of Assassin's Creed Black Flag, and I am enjoying the heck out of it. It is what Black Flag was. There's nothing else to say. Like, it is just remake, and it is almost a complete remake. The only thing is that they have switched a bit up how they do the fighting system. And I've seen, like,
Okay.
even I who prefer things to be easy, even I also think that maybe this game is a bit too easy now because your character is a tank. Like,
Okay.
I get that he's a pirate, but he's like a tanky tank. And it is Assassin's Creed. So I find myself so often just not doing what I'm told to do to sneaky sneaky and just go head in and just fight. So maybe not a big fan of the new fighting system, but the story is still gold. Love that you can update the city. Love that you can be a pirate. There is a lot of good accessibility tools when it comes to sailing, because you are sailing,
Yeah.
you are a pirate. So
The
for
big one
motion
I've got to
sickness.
ask is the emotion subtitle setting that was in Assassin's Creed Shadows back for this one.
Yes, they are. And
Cool.
all the things we have seen, every new Assassin's Creed thing is out, even the follow
Yeah.
your companion when they talk, so you can just press a button and you automatically follow them. And it is all of these really cool things.
Yeah.
Oh,
See,
sorry.
that's all right. Yeah, that's the main thing I was hoping for is I'm like I was very happy when some of those things showed up in Assassin's Creed Shadows, and I was like, I want to know if they've arrived here, A, because this is a remake of an older game, so sometimes you don't see some of those new accessibility features put in, and B, can I start hoping that this is now a standard feature that Ubisoft's going to do in basically all their future games?
It
Because,
seems to be it.
yeah, it's really not a huge amount of, like, the amount of work required to do that feature is very minimal, and if they are in a routine of, yeah, we just do that now. That's a really great thing to hear because that makes them the first publisher to be doing this reliably.
Yes, the only thing that I feel is a bit weird, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that
Yeah.
on the accessibility settings, all of them are presets. You can either go in and customize.
Oh.
So there's like five presets, and then you go into it, which I don't like. I wish I just have a huge ass list and then headers instead.
Oh.
Because,
Yeah, that's a weird way to do it, huh?
yes. So that is only thing I can say that I find is a bit like, hey, why did we do this?
Doing it the presets way you're describing feels like it would discourage people who discourage people who might need those settings but not think of themselves as disabled from using them if they have to go into a specific like disability preset to find them.
Yes, and a lot of them are also to be found in other settings, so that is to give them honor for that. But yeah, I'm having a bunch of fun with the game. Their motion sickness is better. I still get a bit triggered playing this game, so
Yeah.
I have to do it in bulk, but it is still, this is one of the best Assassin's Creed game. I don't think we have had such a good Assassin's Creed game since Black Flag, and just to see it back in wonderful, pretty quality. The only thing I have to say though, which is a huge critic, which this is actually something I'm disappointed at. So I absolutely love this game, but this is something I don't find to be okay after the new info I've gotten. And that is when you start the game on PC, If you have your PC set on a different language, like I am, because my PC is of course set to Norwegian, your when the this like
The system language overrides the game language, I
yes,
think, isn't it?
yes. So the sound or the narrating of the menu, if you turn on narrating, if you are blind, you will get it read to you in the language that your PC is in, but that doesn't work, right? Because it's English words. So it just sounds really, really weird. It sounds funny.
Oh, it's
And
trying to pronounce one language's words with a different language's pronunciation rule set.
yes, so say like
Oh, yeah, okay, I understand.
instead of saying like the word measuring or exposure, it would say exposer
Yeah,
because it
it's
tries
just
to
making it
read it
harder
in
to
Norwegian.
pass,
Yes, it
yeah.
tries to read it as a Norwegian word, right? So the computer just tries to think that this is a Norwegian word, and it writes, so it reads all the numbers in Norwegian, but then the rest of the text in like this quasi Norwegian English thingamajiggy. That is really bad, because then I got even more annoyed when the wonderful, amazing, let me find his name, Antonio, wrote on Twitter to me and said, this happened in most of their games. Usually the trick is, one, delete your game configuration file. Two, change your keyboard language in Windows to English. Three, run the game now. Once it runs, it you use the right tone accent, and you can change Windows keyboard back to what you want. And then he said, this happens in Shadows too. I think something is taking the language from somewhere specific window setting and trigger the voice narrating. But this is just a one-time fix. It works. Then it works fine. You can imagine how much stuff I had to try before finding a solution that was. But the thing that annoys me in this is that on another thing I had a Ubisoft employee, or somebody said them, you can never know though, but they said they were Ubisoft employee, telling me that they knew this was a problem and that they were working on it. And but then it doesn't seem like that is actually the thing. Like they sort of said it in a way of like, well, we know this and we're working on it. Why are you posting about it? And then but that so now something doesn't add up, because if this was just, I thought it was just like a funny bug. I got the game before everybody else. I got the day before the embargo, and now the day the embargo lifted, so I could post a bit about it, and then I post about this, and then it turns out that this is something they have had a problem with since Shadow and haven't fixed it. Then it's not a bug. That is not a first day bug. It's not a, oh shit, we forgot to configure something. This is a systematic problem going on in more than one game. You need to add, and remember, my keyboard does not look like an English keyboard, because my keyboard had three different more letters than the English alphabet.
It sounds like it is a problem that has been pushed quite down low on a priority list, that someone somewhere has decided this is not impacting enough people to enough of a degree that it needs to be a priority. And that's it's always a shame to it's the thing that can be a bit disappointing sometimes when you hear, oh, developer has been aware of the problem I'm having for a while and hasn't fixed it. Because I don't think they necessarily always recognize that, like, how much that message, the message that's sent to the player is, oh, no, we know about that problem. We just didn't think the problem you're having is important. Which I know is probably not what is intended, but, like, it can feel that way sometimes.
Yeah, and also the thing is that then it also shows me that, and this is a thing I have a lot of other times, and please like don't take it too serious what I'm saying now, but it also is annoying as once again another language than English is just looked at as like, oh, it's annoying off the thing. Because like Ian also wrote, and he had a good idea, like asked like, okay, but what happened if you change in-game language? My language is so small, I don't have an in-game language, because my language is so small. And it's like, I can understand this, but this is this English-centric thing we so often see in game, and it's like, oh, but it's not a problem because it's not a problem for English speakers. But you are blind in other languages as well. It's not just in England. And when you have to change the setup of your keyboard, that's a hard thing to do when you do not necessarily have it set up from before. And Yeah, no, it was disappointed. That was like the big thing that goes like, oh, come on. Don't. This is thing. Accessibility is not accessible if it doesn't work. And if I had to like completely change my whole PC setup to make a game work, that I would not say that then it is accessible for blind gamers that are in other countries than one of the countries that the game can talk to you in. So yeah.
Indeed, yeah.
But other than that, game is fun.
Hurrah.
Other than being negative, game is really fun.
Yeah. So I'm gonna jump in with one of the games that I've played, and this one's gonna be like super quick, because I talked about this a little bit last time we recorded, and the game is out now, and I want to come back to it. I played through Rhythm Heaven Groove, which is the
Yeah.
first party Nintendo published music rhythm game that's a little bit WarioWare, where it's like silly, very short, silly concepts coming up that you do your music rhythm in. So it's like, oh, there's a woman throwing a frisbee to a dog, and you, when she throws it, you jump on the seventh beat and bite it on the eighth, or oh, you're plucking chin hairs out of a piece of garlic or something like that with a little face on it. And the thing that was really exciting about this when the demo for it came out a couple of weeks ago was the fact that it had audio descriptions. It had text-to-speech narration for all sort of menu and on-screen text. And any time you entered a new mini game, it would give you optional audio descriptions for what the concept of the mini game is. So, like, one of them is these little penguin type creatures putting umbrellas up and down, and it would sort of describe the scene to you a little bit. At the time when the demo came out, I sort of compared it in terms of what it was doing to the approach of something like Bits and Bops, that we talked about a bit last year. I think that fundamentally it is a very similar approach to Bits and Bops, and Bits and Bops is a game that I praise a lot for its handling of this kind of setup. I do think that Rhythm Heaven Groove is not perfect in this regard. It's definitely it's a lot more basic in the descriptions it gives, the audio descriptions it gives. It will describe the scene of like what you are looking at the start of the minigame, but not really any of the things that like will be happening on screen later in the minigame. Like, it doesn't describe, oh, the woman is throwing her frisbee to a dog. Later in the minigame, a sound will play as something jumps in front of the screen to try and obscure the
Yeah.
player's view. Or like, it doesn't give that additional context that will explain, like, oh, something changed in the rhythm and I played along with that, but I don't know what was changing on screen because that later context isn't given. So yeah, part of that is that the mini games are a little more, they're a little more basic in what they do as well than Bits and Bops. Like, Bits and Bops really plays around with, for example, there's a Bits and Bops mini game about like hammering in nails, and that does a lot of things with playing around with like comic book panels, and it'll sort of separate, there'll be a panel in between, and suddenly now there's a sort of gap that you're having to factor around. It does a lot of very interesting visual things, which gives it more material to do its sort of initial audio descriptions with, I guess. As I say, Rhythm Heaven Groove is not perfect with its audio descriptions, but it is perfectly navigatable with no vision,
Yeah.
and it gives audio descriptions that are good enough to give a sense of like the personality of the level, which is a big part of the game's appeal, because it's not just music rhythm, it's music rhythm, but a kind of silly situation you're thrown into.
So
The main
from
Oh,
what
yeah,
I'm
go
like
on.
thinking, it's like it sort of seems like it audio describes like the text of the game, but not necessarily all actions. And what to make it like to be proper, it also need to have audio descriptions for coming and like animations or changes that is happening.
Yeah, it's I would recommend people check out like the we did a trailer for Bits and Bops at the Accessibility Summer Showcase 2024. If you check that out, you will see an example of the way that that handles audio descriptions, and I do think it is more in depth with like what you can expect as the mini game goes on. But positives, I did want to give a positive that's like more context around this game releasing, which is when the Switch 2 released back in May of last year, It did have text-to-speech menu narration, but you had to go through the first time setup and get into the system settings to turn it on. Meaning that someone who has no vision or very low vision couldn't buy a Switch 2 and have text-to-speech on right from moment one. That has been updated in the last couple of months, meaning that, let's say, someone who has zero vision bought a Switch 2 and a physical copy of this game. They could turn the Switch 2 on, go through the first time setup without any assistance, because text-to-speech is already on, put the cartridge in, and then play this game with text-to-speech, which is, I think, the first time we've had a first-party Nintendo game and system where you could purchase the system, do first-time setup, put the game in, and play a first-party game with zero vision.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really cool step forward. It is a shame that the eShop still doesn't support text-to-speech, so you can't do, you couldn't purchase a digital version of this without visual assistance, but we are getting way closer to someone can buy a Nintendo console and a Nintendo game and set it up and play that game without assistance
Yeah.
being much more of a reality, and I think that's a really cool moment.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
What about you? Have you been playing anything else you want to talk about this week?
So I have dabbled a bit in like Mecha Chameleon, which is a popular
Oh,
game that everybody's playing at the moment.
it's the new friend slot, but
Yes,
this time.
of course I have dabbled in the friend slop. What else should I do? No, I have dabbled a bit in it, and I am what I'm going to say, because I have like I just played it for like 40 minutes with some friends. That's it. I didn't, and it was like in a large lobby with a lot of people, so I couldn't check out accessibility in the way I wanted. I can explain the game. So the game is that you make up like a team, sort of like Among Us. So you have a team. Some is going to try to hide themselves as chameleons in the game, so they paint their body as small like stick figures or small figures.
Yeah, you're like the bathroom door figures
Yes,
almost.
yes. And then you oh, that was actually a really good example. I had to think there, and I was just like, yeah, that really, really fit. And you just hide somewhere in the world by just painting yourself. So we have seen all the amazing clips coming out from it for people like dressing themselves up as like, or like painting Mona Lisa on their character's face and stuff. Like, it's incredible. I'm really, really bad at painting, really, really bad at anything like that. So I always get hunted because two or more, depending on like how you have set up the board, will then after X amount of time come and hunt everybody down, and they have a timer, so they need to try and find where people are. And it's funny, it's a community thing, it is just good old fun. But the things I am going to, because I haven't checked the accessibility properly, is that I just want to give a small little warning that there are a lot of in between setup, so like in between games, there you are in a world that is like extremely amount of colors in the background, and when you go from the host place to the game, there is this like color thing, which I, without knowing 100%, can most likely trigger some seizures if you aren't careful. So I'm just going to say it, and like this is an indie game made by two people. I don't think we will see accessibility in the first place, but just FYI, close your eyes when you're playing this game, especially if you're tired. Remember to take breaks. Remember to take care of yourself. And these are just things that they're. Yeah, this game is not set up for accessibility. I haven't checked out a lot of it. It was fun. I don't think I want to play it that much anymore because, like, it's a bit too stressful for me when I'm so bad at it. But most of it is explained. If you play with friends, you can use as much time you want. Like, you can just make this game into what you want. But I would just want to tell people to be a bit careful if you have seizures or migraines and things that can be triggered by imagery on your screen. Just be a bit careful. Yeah.
My only thing I know about that game right now is that cheaters have worked out how to like press a button and have it
Yes.
just like completely like print out what's behind them to make them invisible. And
Yeah.
I've been very much enjoying the people who have been watching that happen, and they don't care anymore if they get caught. They're just painting big arrows on themselves to
Yes.
point at the cheater, and that's made me happy. It makes me feel like there is a good community playing if they're like, I don't mind if I'm losing, I just want them to
Yeah,
lose.
and it's like in this game, you win or lose nothing. It's just fun. It's an Among Us game,
Yeah.
kind of. It's like it's just for fun. And you can either play with randoms or play with your friends. So like it's nothing to lose. And so I don't understand why people are doing that because like but people will always cheat though. So yeah. So do you have any more games,
Exactly.
Laura?
I've got one more, and I'll talk about this very quickly because I started playing this today and I've not played a huge amount of it. I started playing a early access PC pirate game called Windrose.
Yes.
This is one that my wife Jane has been playing recently, has been really into, and I jumped into her world in co-op. This is kind of like Sea of Thieves if there was no multiplayer online, you were only against like computer controlled enemies.
Yeah.
You're thrown into this world and like there's a story, but the story's really not important. The story was like, oh, there was another pirate and there was a skull and the skull I died, but stuff came out the skull and went in me and I'm alive again. It's just a pirate game. It's a pirate game that plays a lot like a Dark Souls in terms of like its combat. The combat's very difficult early on in that it's like it's one of those light attack, heavy attack, dodge, dodge roll kind of combat games. But there is something I really appreciate about it, which is much like something like Dark Souls, if you die, you drop a thing behind where you died. The difference is in Dark Souls and stuff like that, you're dropping experience points or whatever, and if you don't get back to them without dying again, they're gone forever. Here, no matter how many times you die, the stuff you drop doesn't go away. Now, I can't say that 100% certain. Maybe there's like a limit of 1,000 in its game memory or whatever. But realistically, if you die, you drop like a little pod with your items in it. And you don't drop all of them. You keep anything that's on your hotbar, I believe. So you keep like your weapons, your food to stave off hunger, things like that. But like the crafting materials you drop, it's ultimately fine because as long as you at some point go back to where that tombstone on your map is, you'll get all those things back and it's fine. So yeah, the it's more forgiving there than I expected it to be. I have found a lot of aspects of it like weirdly more relaxed than I expected to. Basically, every island you go to has like fast travel points set up, and you don't necessarily have to actually do anything on the island other than run over, hit the fast travel point, and be like, I've seen it, and now you can fast travel back there later. Anywhere you can build, craft a bed, and that's now where you respawn from, so you can save a lot of the stress of doing a lot of backtracking to do stuff. As difficult as I have found it mechanically with the combat, the fact that, like, I know I'm not losing anything permanently if I die, and I can just fast travel. Enemies don't recover their health when you respawn after death, so if I get, like, three or four stabs in on an enemy and then I die, that's fine. I'll just run back over and I'll do the next three or four, and maybe a couple of deaths later I'll get the enemy killed and I'll get to
Oh,
continue.
that's cool though.
So yeah, I'm enjoying it. I don't have much other thoughts because I've been playing it for this afternoon and I stopped to record this podcast. But those are my first thoughts on Windrose.
Nice. Shall we, do you have a game more or shall we go over to the news?
I think we can go to the news, and I think
Yeah.
that the best place to start is by talking about
The sad stuff.
Xbox has had a lot of layoffs.
Yes.
So we'll start with like the big picture, which is that there have been huge job cuts across all of Xbox, like basically across the entire company. I believe there's 3,200 layoffs happening. 1,600 of them have already happened. The other 1,600 are happening throughout the rest of the year. So even people who still have their jobs right now are in this uncomfortable limbo of 6 months from now, I might still be fired. And we first spotted this story that we're going to talk about here because we're both on LinkedIn and we are connected with a lot of people in the accessibility space. We both started spotting a bunch of people from Xbox who we know do accessibility work no longer having jobs at Xbox,
Yes.
including some pretty big senior names in accessibility. Some names where I'm like, oh, that's a really concerning person to see leave.
Yes.
I can tell you some of these are people who, like, without going too much into individual names, I've had meetings with Xbox at Gamescom in the past with some of these people. Like, these are like the faces of Xbox accessibility in some
Yeah,
cases, like at the top of the company.
these are Xbox. These are the accessibility people who have made Xbox to what Xbox is today for accessibility.
These are the people who went out of their way to be like, oh yeah, no, I when the that Xbox adaptive joystick was at Gamescom and was just in a glass case, they were like, oh no, well, yeah, we'll get it out the glass case if you want to take a look at it, because like you we like the these one of the people who's gone is the person who spearheaded for me to get an Xbox for review when I was still really early in accessibility reviewing. But yeah, the job cuts are pretty rough. There's been a couple of stories this week, specifically one from Jeffrey Bunting that you've linked to, called "Accessibility Teams Hit Hard by Xbox's quote reset," that dives into quite how rough these layoffs have been for the accessibility team.
And it's so weird that 2026 might be the year where, like, we see all the accessibility wins from Nintendo and all the accessibility L's from Xbox. And I would never in a million years believe that I would be saying that in 2026. But the on the other side, a bit like positive thing is that if you're listening to this, you have a company doing accessibility in the gaming sphere, and you want to pick up some of the brightest, some of the smartest, some of the biggest name in accessibility. This is your time to do that. Go to LinkedIn. Most of them have posted about it there. I have reposted most of the things I could find there. So you will find these people. We don't need to name them here in case they don't want to, but you, if you want to and you have opening for accessibility in your company, this is your time to get the best of the best.
There are some incredibly talented long-term senior people who have
Yes.
been let go, and I think that's part of, like, it's not even like the numbers of accessibility people from Xbox who've been let go is terrifying, but also really terrifying is how many of the senior people have been let go, the people who have like a decade plus of experience doing this work, the kind of experience you really can't replicate quickly if you decide like you want to pivot back into accessibility down the line. It's not going to be easy to get that kind of experience back. Some specifics from Jeffrey's piece. Multiple sources confirmed to him that the Microsoft Gaming Accessibility Testing Service has basically disappeared. Its testers and leads have all been laid off. This was a service that non-Microsoft developers could bring their games to Microsoft and go, can you tell us which of your accessibility targets our game meets, to help them sort of understand what they were doing right, which of the Xbox accessibility tags they would be eligible for. It was like the system that was responsible for making the accessibility store tags like an important thing. On top of that, a lot of staff who got moved from teams to become accessibility specialists have been moved back to those original teams. Amy Coleman, who's executive vice president at Xbox, said that Xbox had, quote, redeployed 500 staff during layoffs, and it sounds like a good chunk of that is people being moved away from accessibility and onto other parts of development. There's also the stuff with like Compulsion Games, Double Fine, Ninja Theory, and Undead Labs getting spun off, and a lot of those accessibility talent being left in limbo because they weren't internally at those studios. There's a whole bunch of additional stuff as well, but like genuinely.
This is sad. I there's nothing else to say. It is sad, and I can't even, on top of it, think that a lot of these people sit in countries where they can be let go on the day and now go into a summertime that is preferably quite quiet in industry with nothing. No security blanket, nothing, and no 3 months. You can wait 3 months until still get the paycheck, nothing. And I am really, really sad for the people, and I wish them all the best. And I'm really, really
Yeah.
like cheering for them to get a even better position, and I hope things open up for them because we need
Yeah.
this.
And look, if anyone, like, if there's any world in which someone like an Ashoshana hears this conversation, I don't think it's particularly likely, but we have really, on this show, advocated for Xbox as a champion of accessibility for basically as long as this show has existed, and long before that, when we were just, separate accessibility people talking about the industry. Xbox may not have always been doing the most flashy work. Like, we often talk about PlayStation in terms of, like, pushing forward very flashy accessibility updates. Same for Ubisoft. Xbox had this reputation of being, like, a reliable workhorse for accessibility,
Yes.
just consistently doing things right, being right at the forefront of pushing standards forward. We saw it with things like Xbox being the first ones to adopt the standardized accessibility tags. We saw it with them being the first ones to introduce the Xbox Adaptive Controller. It would be really a shame to see that reputation fall away over the next couple of years.
Yes.
Like, Ashishamra has talked about wanting Xbox to reach 1 billion daily active users. If you stop making your games accessible for disabled players, that's going to shrink the number of people playing Xbox games, not grow it.
Yeah, and it'll also in general just going to like not only affect disabled
Yeah.
gamers, it's going to affect everyone because we don't
Yeah.
want apps and tools and play games we cannot play in a comfortable manner if that is going to that affects us all. So yeah, no, this is a
Right.
just
Yeah.
disappointing.
If you want to hit that 1 billion people, you're not just going to need disabled people playing. You're going to need older people. You're going to need people not to age out of gaming, and accessibility is going to be helpful there. You're going to need young people that are used to phones and don't play with controllers to find your games accessible. This is not the path forward to the everyone plays Xbox future I think you think it is.
No. And
So yeah,
if it is, that is an unrealistic thing they never, ever, ever will hit. So, yeah.
Agreed. Oh, I've just realized. I apologize to anyone watching the video. I was reading that article, and apparently the sun set while I wasn't looking at OBS, and my screen has just been getting darker and darker. I've been descending into the shadows during that story, which, if anything, I think is quite fitting given how depressing the
Yeah.
story is.
Like,
It's just the doom and gloom of
the
the industry.
melodramatic.
Yeah, I put on my studio light now and it's fine. But there you go. That's why the darkness was consuming me during that story. Maybe I'll remember to put some text and go, "Don't worry, the light's coming."
Yeah.
But we have a couple of other stories that aren't just the industry completely eating Xbox accessibility. You've just popped one in here about Subnautica 2.
Yeah, so Subnautica 2 had an update for their early access, and I just wanted quickly to let people know that they include what they call quality of life. So if you're looking for some more accessibility that makes you able to test it when it is in early access, because this is such a wished for game, I highly recommend checking it out. One of them is like a FOV slider, which can help with motion sickness for people playing first person games. So please do go and check it out. So if you are looking forward to the Subnautica 2, but it's not accessible for you yet, you're just waiting, it has been an update. And that was just like all I wanted to say.
Nice. The last one I'll pop in here, which is, it's a cool, it's a positive thing, with a little caveat that I'll throw a little caveat in there. But BioWave, we've talked about before, the creators of the Proteus controller, which is that controller that is a bunch of cubes where you can put different things on the different faces and sort of reshuffle how the controller is. They've been doing some updates to the controller recently. One of them that I can't remember if we talked about on this show was, they do now have a USB dongle that allows you to have two power cubes synced to one USB dongle at the same time, which makes it way, way, way easier to do what I wanted the BioWave for in the first place, which is to have a split-handed control, so you can have something like the Joy-Cons where your hands are apart from each other. It was technically possible before, but you had to buy a second USB dongle separately, and then use something like the Xbox app to, on PC, set up co-pilot control so that the two became one controller again. You couldn't really do it on, say, Steam, which doesn't really have that support. Now there's a single dongle and you can use it for things like Steam, and that's great. But there's a new feature that they're testing out at the moment, which is having a gyro sensing cube that you would be able to put into your setup in order to have motion controls replace analog inputs, so that you could do things like if you struggle with use of your thumbs, maybe do racing games in a sort of like as if you're steering the steering wheel kind of controls. And I think that's great because if nothing else, that's going to bring gyro controls as an option to Xbox players, which has basically never been an option for them.
And I think that is cool. I think it
Yeah.
is nice in all of these negative things, it is nice to see somebody coming with something positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I look, my thoughts with BioWare is I love what they're trying to do with the Proteus. It is undeniably expensive, and it launched in a rough state, and a lot of the functionality is it's great that the new stuff is coming to it. It's a bit of a shame that people who bought early are getting the least complete version of what it's becoming,
Yeah.
but I'm glad it is becoming a better product than it was when I bought it, because like I was a little disappointed with the quality of it compared to the price when it first launched,
Yeah.
and I'm glad that people today are getting a better value for money package than I got.
And I hope like that we could just like buy this gyroscopical cube if that comes out,
Yeah.
that we could just rebuy it as like an accessory to the kit we already
Yeah.
have.
I suspect that will be the case. I still need to go around to I want to buy one of the dongle that can have two cubes connected to it. I bought a second cube a second dongle when they made the dongles available separately so that I could do split-handed controls, and it's such a faff every time I want to set it up that I will at some point get around to buying a third dongle for my Proteus just so I can do that more easily.
Yes.
But yeah, I think we're gonna call it a day here for today because it's hot and we're tired and some of us have got very early things to be doing tomorrow.
Yes.
Arevio, where can people find you on the internet if they want to find more of you talking about accessibility?
You can find me on Arevia everywhere except for TikTok because somebody stole my name. There I am, Arevia Gaming. There is to be found nothing at the moment because I'm technically on summer holiday. I took myself a holiday. So
Ooh.
since like we are dying in the heat anyways, I just said, hey,
Yeah.
nothing happening. I am just going to wait until a bit more autumn comes. So that's just how it
I've been
is.
the same. I've taken a couple of weeks off of accessibility because I was just too hot to have thoughts. It was like I cannot have lo I cannot have meaningful thoughts in these temperatures.
Yeah, but I did update my webpage, so if anybody wants to go and say take a look at the pretty webpage, arevia.tv.
I'll go
Woohoo.
have a look at the pretty webpage. I'll put some of it on screen now. Ooh, look at the pretty webpage.
Oh
Isn't
my
it so pretty?
God.
Don't you want to go visit that
Yes,
webpage?
you do. And Laura, where can people find you?
I'm at Laura K Buzz as ever. You can find me on Patreon, on YouTube. If you just search Laura K Buzz, you'll find the too many things that I'm up to. Thank you very much, everyone, for watching. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode of Control Alt Access. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye.